Not worry, we will get through it all. I can if okay. As we move into our scripture this morning, we will begin with, as stated earlier, the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. I am unsure that I did not use. Maybe I used the NIV, New International Version, or whether this is the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. Nevertheless, the scripture is found at 21 and verse 1 as we are celebrating Palm Sunday. This is what is read in the gospel according to Matthew. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as we move into this almost last week of our journey from the wilderness to faithfulness, I'd like for us to think about what it means to have a reality check. A reality check. I think we all need a reality check from time to time. Amen. Amen. We all need a reality check from time to time. And we need that reality check because from time to time, there are actually times in our lives when things appear to be surreal. What I mean by that is, even though things around us are happening in the moment, it appears that what we are experiencing has happened to us before, a kind of deja vu moment. And if we don't feel that it's happened to us before, we at least feel that we're participating in something that might be bigger than life itself. It might be that in that particular moment, our eyesight seems sharper and our hearing seems more acute. It might even be that we smell something that seems familiar to us, but we can't seem to put our finger on when or where we experienced this smell before. It might be that the atmosphere has a certain magnetism to it that draws us deeper and deeper into something that we're not sure of. And when that happens, it's usually time for us to stop and have a reality check. It's time to make sure that it's time to make sure that what's happening in reality is really going on. And it's like that in life, but it's especially like that when we consider the things of God. Consider this. When we think about Jesus entering Jerusalem and how he entered, the chants of the crowd, and finally the question, who is this? And the response. Well, it's time for all of us to do a reality check. Now, psychologists and psychiatrists will all tell you that whatever we perceive is our reality. It doesn't matter what other people say or do. It doesn't even matter what other people hear, see, or think. Not even when the circumstances, which may be the same, are experienced by different people at the same time, is that idea changed. Whatever we experience tends to be real to us. It's a reality that we live in. Now, there may be a reality that's common to everyone, even though our perceptions might be different. In the movie Total Recall, Colin Firth played a factory worker named Douglas Quaid. And for Douglas, reality, at least his reality, had lost its appeal. He was looking for something else. And because of that, he goes to a company that can actually shape his reality to whatever he wants his reality to be. His perceptions of reality will become whatever his mind tells him it is. I want you to watch and listen, because there may be something that will tell us about how we shape our own reality.
Welcome. Hey. In front of Merrick's.
Yes. Yeah, we work together. That it?
That is it.
It feels like real life.
What is life but our brain's chemical perception of it? Your eyes see, your brain chemistry reacts. Here we just remove the middleman and we go straight to the chemistry. That make it any less real?
An illusion, no matter how convincing, is still just an illusion.
That's very good. You're right, objectively. But from the inside, subjectively. I assure you, it's quite the opposite entirely. Listen, I get it. I get it. You're here because you feel like something's missing. You got some tug, some longing for something more. But we're going to give you that thing.
Is that right?
Maybe something you could never afford to do? Something secret you've always wanted to try, but you would never ever dare.
What do you mean secret?
Anything. Tell us your fantasy. We'll give you the memory. You want to be rich and famous? Worshipped by millions? Maybe something a little more adrenaline, huh? Crime fighter or world-class athlete? Secret agent, that's you, right? Clandestine bank accounts, coded messages.
Secret agent, I could do that.
Yeah, as an intelligence operative. You could be working for the resistance. Ooh, maybe you work for Cohagen. Or why limit yourself? Why not both?
And isn't that how our world is? Isn't that how things are in our world? We've all watched World's Funniest Videos. And we've seen people put on these virtual reality goggles and dive through television sets and fall over tables because what they see and experience in their mind is different from the real world. And what they need is a reality check. Two people watch the same accident, but in their minds, they see and experience something totally different than what may have actually happened. That's our experience as we hear and experience the words and events of our scripture today. Jesus's authority is acknowledged by others when he invites those closest to him to enter into service as stewards of the Lord. Words as simple as "the Lord needs them" cause the disciples to immediately go to do his bidding for the releasing of the colt. It doesn't say that anyone asked the question why, but the disciples show up with the donkey and the colt. At this point, it's obvious, or at least it should be, that someone recognizes Jesus as Lord. Matthew wants us to be clear about the fact that this is being done to fulfill the words of the prophet Zechariah, verifying Jesus as the anointed one of God. Apparently, there were others who either believed because they had received the blessings of God or had seen what Jesus had done before and had acknowledged him as a prophet. His reputation had preceded him into Jerusalem, and they were giving him the royal treatment. They were shouting the words of the 118th Psalm at verse 26, the one that exalted him to the position of king, whether he had fully accepted it or not, that he was entering into hostile territory in the province of Rome was of no consequence because he came riding on a donkey. It wasn't a sign of power, but a sign of peace. But the city was in turmoil. The city was in confusion. There were Jews from all over the land that had come from everywhere, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And not all of them had expected to encounter a rock star and his entourage of sorts. A parade of honor. And they had certainly not expected to encounter someone receiving king-like treatment from the crowds. Now, some were treating him as a king, while others were saying only that he was the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It would be clear to say that it was unclear who Jesus was to the masses of Jews, not to mention those of Roman citizenry who had no interest in the Jews or their affairs. And yet the crowds were crying, "Hosanna," while still others were asking, "Who is this?" And then there rides Jesus, a man of many reputations and names, Son of David, Savior, Prophet, King, every man and no one special, all on the same donkey. And for 3 years, God has been working miracles among people through Jesus, yet there still remains to be some uncertainty about who this Jesus is. Now, it's easy for us to claim that our reality of Jesus's position in life is the right one, many years after the parade is over. We live with the post-resurrection view of who Jesus is. And today is Palm Sunday. It's a great day of celebration in the life of the church, but this journey from the wilderness to faithfulness has been a road in which we've been asked to do our own reality check. A reality check to see if we are finding ourselves in the presence of God daily. It's a reality check to see if in our lives we are being objects of resistance to God's purpose, or if we're brave enough to tell the whole message about this Christian life we live. Have we done a reality check to see if we're all in? Or is this the week when our reality checks need a reality check? You see, brothers and sisters, in this story today, there are all kinds of people. And all of them are represented by those of us who are here this morning. There are those of us who, if we had a clear instruction from Jesus that said, go and do something, we would go without hesitation, without questioning whether it was the smart thing or the right thing or the best thing or the proper thing or even the popular thing. We've been on this journey from the wilderness to faithfulness a long time, and we've come to trust in Jesus. We've had to do a lot of gut checks in almost every area of our lives along the way. And what we found is that our lives have been in God, and we've been brave enough to tell the whole story of this life. We stand and have stood against objects of resistance to God's purpose. We know that we're all in, and we do a regular reality check to make sure we're on track to show our faithfulness. But there are others who walk among the crowd in the parade. They've joined the parade because other people have joined the parade. There's an excitement building, and they don't want to be left out if something big happens. And right now, they love the idea of Jesus and what he stands for and what he stands against. They love the concept of grace and all that Jesus offers, but they don't have a personal experience of Jesus or God's grace that would let them answer the question asked about Jesus, who is this? They're on the journey from the wilderness to faithfulness, walking in the parade based on the experience of their mother or grandmother, their father or grandfather. They're doing their own reality checks along the way, hoping to discover who Jesus is and what he means in their lives. And if that's who you are, then let me offer you the words of a song that was popular many, many years ago. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child who's got his own. God and Christ are seeking to give us today an experience of who Jesus really is, if we're open and willing to believe it. There are still others who are in the parade on the journey from the wilderness to faithfulness, whose shouts of Hosanna are filled with hope more than an assurance that Jesus is who people say he is. We hope he is who he says he is, but we're not sure. They look for Jesus to become who they want Jesus to be instead of who God has called him to be. They look to Jesus because they believe that he is arriving to become their spiritual justice coordinator and hitman, someone who's called to take out everyone who has done harm to them. They're in the parade without a clear understanding of who Jesus might be. They too still seek to bring to their consciousness a clear understanding of who Jesus is. And then there are those who, even though the stories have been told, even though they were eyewitnesses to his grace, even though there is the parade and people are shouting Hosanna in the highest, even though two communities of faith will essentially celebrate Passover this week, they look upon the festivities of the week with an unknowing perception, still asking the question about Jesus, who is this? And with the continued questions, they have refused to do a reality check. Their reality ignores what others have perceived to be the truth based on what might be information common to us all. You see, brothers and sisters, our reality check is simply this. Prophets and writers from antiquity have recorded the events that bring us on the journey from the wilderness to faithfulness, to precisely this event we experience in our reading today, the laying down of the palms. They have not been closeted about what they've had to say. Their words may appear to be cryptic because they are separated by the years of different voices speaking in the name of God. But it is still God's one voice that is being heard. It's the voice of God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, reminding us of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," and one willing to take upon himself the iniquity of us all. It's the voice of God speaking through David to remind us that someone will be gambling to divide his garments among them. It's the voice of God speaking through the prophet Zechariah, reminding us that the Savior will come to God's people riding on a donkey. It's Jesus in the temple reminding us that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do all of the things that we experience in our relationship with him. It's the Spirit of the living God inviting us now to do our own reality check. It's the voice of God ringing like a bell throughout antiquity, the sound of its chime touching our ears today and asking the same question that was asked while on the journey from the wilderness to faithfulness into Jerusalem. Who is this? Who is Jesus? And brothers and sisters, that's the question hanging over our heads today, like the sword of Damocles. Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? And that's a question that not just we, but everyone will have to answer. Everyone will have to have a reality check. And that's the word of God for the people of God.